Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brooke, but let's talk to Michael Lee, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, at Mr. Michael Lee on Twitter, one of the best NBA writers and NBA Twitter follows that you can possibly have. Michael, thanks so much for making some time during the playoffs on the Danny Parkin Show. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, good. Thanks for having me.
So what's the best thing you've seen so far in the playoffs?
Man, the Milwaukee Bucks. I know they aren't really playing playing an inferior opponent, but they're taking care of business, and I think that's what you're supposed to do at this level. They're not having any slippage, and they've just been totally dominant. And I think when you look at a franchise that is on the verge of winning its first playoff series in 18 years, they kind of got the weight of expectations starting to come down on them. But they've been steady all season, and I just think that this is just an example of just how steady and consistent they've been all year. There is no slip-ups. There is no mental lapses. They're just going after it. And so I've really been impressed with what I've seen in them the last couple weeks when everyone kind of realized that they were going to clinch the number one seed, but also just how they've just maintained a level head through it all and in a laser-sharp focus.
Do you think they're the favorites to come out of the East?
Well, I say that, and they're about to face the Boston Celtics, which is the team that I've sort of been siding with as possibly winning the East pretty much all year because of their talent. And I think it's going to be a really good contrast where you have this steady team that's been consistent all year, and this completely just inconsistent squad that's just been frustrating all year, but you know has the talent to be better. So that right now the Celtics are playing good ball too. They completely sweep the Pacers, and you wonder if now all of a sudden this is the time to start believing in them because things are starting to click, and guys are starting to really have confidence in their talent and starting to block out all the other noise about Kyrie's free agency or anything else that may be affecting them. Shots, playing time, opportunity, everybody's kind of on the same page right now. And I think that's going to be a really interesting series. So the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs, I think, has probably been the most anticipated part because there are four teams that we've sort of been locked into watching, all year. And they're actually going to meet head-to-head in some series that I can't say I'm more excited. I'm really excited to see them go head-to-head.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Eastern Conference is wide open. I think most people agree with that. And there's huge free agent ramifications in some of these series.
Absolutely.
Who do you think has their free agent decision most directly tied to the outcome of how far or not far their team goes in the playoffs?
Philadelphia and Toronto. I mean, but Philadelphia for the most part because they've actually – gone all in on this season. They sacrificed future assets. They sacrificed players, draft picks, everything to get stars for right now. And they could wind up being rentals with Tobias Harris leaving or Jimmy Butler leaving. They both have the option to go elsewhere. J.J. Redick will be a free agent too. The only certainty in Philadelphia right now is Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, which is their foundation. It's a great foundation to have if you're going to do anything in this league. Having two all-stars to start with, but they want to have, some superstar or not, at least star talent, surrounding them. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how far they go because the owner or the managing partner, Josh Harris, has already declared that they have to be better than they did last year, which means they have to get past the second round. So there's already a mandate. And, they've said that they're committed to this group and keeping it together. But it'll be interesting to see what happens if, say, Toronto kind of handles them easily. Do you really want to make a huge financial investment in a team whose ceiling might just be the second round?
Michael Lee, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, is our guest. So you think there's a scenario where Kawhi stays in Toronto, or is he just impossible to figure out?
Everyone has been saying from the day he was traded by the San Antonio Spurs, Kawhi's going to the Clippers.
Right.
That's what everyone is saying. But no one is actually getting that directly from Kawhi. They're getting it from people around Kawhi or people who maybe feel like they know Kawhi. But, you know, Kawhi is really guarded. And you know, he's a tough guy to read. And you can't just say, well, if Toronto wins the championship, how can he leave that? He left the Spurs where he won a championship. He won a championship in San Antonio and said, I'm out. So he's a difficult guy to read. I think he's always, I guess the sentiment is that he wants to be home and playing in Los Angeles, but not necessarily for the Lakers. So I think Toronto feels like they're going to be positive. They're going to be optimistic that he sticks around. But, you know, Kawhi is just a difficult guy to read. And I can't say that playoff success one way or another is going to affect his decision because he does what he wants to do. And Toronto, to me, seems like the perfect fit because he gets to maintain his anonymity, you know, and still, you know, just be Kawhi without having to worry about all the other stuff, all the ancillary stuff that comes with being a star.
Yeah, and he certainly would have to deal with that in L.A., but like you said, it's home. Speaking of the Western Conference now, do you consider Warriors-Rockets second round a de facto NBA Finals?
No, because I honestly think that the team, whoever comes out of the East, if they're going to have a legit chance of making it a tough series or possibly win a championship if the Rockets are somehow able to upset the Warriors. So I'm not discrediting these teams in the East. They're legit. All four of those teams that will look like they're going to get out of the first round are teams that I could see, you know, going all the way. So I'm not going to discount them in any way. But it is going to be the best series that we have left, I think, in the West, because the Rockets are probably among the remaining teams. They're the most fearless when it comes to the Warriors. They don't look at them as some juggernaut that can't be beaten. They know that they came very close last year before Chris Paul got hurt. They're up 3-2, and they had every right to believe they were going to win that series. And I remember James Harden said right after that, you know, he thought about that loss, Game 6 and Game 7. He thought about those losses all summer, and that's all he was focused on, was getting the opportunity to see that team again. So if he gets the opportunity to play them, you know he's going to want to give it to them, you know, because that's the team that's been knocking him out of the playoffs for the last couple of years. Chris Paul obviously has his history with the Clippers. So these guys, they want the Warriors. And that's the thing that stands out probably more than anybody else. Not that they will, you know, take the fact that they're there. They want to beat them. So I think that's going to make it an intriguing series.
Yeah, I think it's the de facto finals because I love the East and I think it's wide open. I do. They're not afraid, like you said. Chris Paul doesn't get hurt. And they went 7-for-44 from three in Game 7 at home last year. Like, so if Chris Paul doesn't get hurt and they don't have the worst shooting performance in NBA playoff history from three, they win that series. I just think it's going to be a classic. Though I will say this Houston team is different than last year's in, I think, some meaningful ways. What do you think the key differences are there?
Well, I mean, they have more depth. They were able to create depth on the fly this season, you know, picking up Austin Rivers and Kenneth Faried. You know, last year they really kind of had like a six-man rotation because guys were getting so banged up towards the end. But now they actually they don't have to just lean on James Harden to just do all the heavy lifting. And I think that was evident in Game 3 against the Utah Jazz where he misses his first 15 shots. They still come out with the victory because they have other guys that can make plays and make shots. And I think that's sort of what they've been building for. You know, a lot of times when you establish, you know, say a super team or some kind of all-star alliance, it's not always the first year where things click and it just both. You have a lot more success. It's that second year when guys have that trust and that familiarity and they know each other. They know what they can count on. They know who they can depend on. And I think that's sort of where Houston is now, where they don't have to think twice about what the next man's going to do. They can just go out there and just focus on their jobs and it's going to be done.
Do you think the Warriors are affected by the thought that Kevin Durant leaving is inevitable?
They were the number one seed in the West. They're about to handle the Clippers. I don't think they're worried about it at all. I think they've known from the beginning of training camp that it's a possibility that Kevin Durant's going to leave. I remember being in New York when they went there. They played the Knicks and the Nets in back-to-back games. And the minute he walked in the Madison Square Garden locker room, Andre Iguodala sees Kevin Durant and says, "Welcome home." they were already joking about it back in October. So it's not like something that it was that they can't handle. I mean, these are veterans. These are guys who understand the business, and they understand what Kevin Durant is and who he is. You know, the same way, you know, when he's letting everybody know, y'all know who I am. Like, he made it clear his last two games, you know, getting 71 points. Like, we know who you are, Kevin. We know. His teammates know who he is, too. And now, obviously, there have been moments with him and Draymond, and they bumped heads over it. I think a lot of it was related to free agency. But I think after a while, everyone just realized, you know, even if he does leave, why not try to make the most of what you are right now? It sort of feels like the last dance no matter what. But if it's not and Kevin decides to stay, then it's all gravy. But if you have a chance to win 4 championships in 5 years and 3 in a row, who cares what happens next year? You can't think about next year anyway because nothing's promised beyond this point anyway.
Yeah, that was so badass when KD said that, and I was thinking he could turn it into a whole branding thing. Like, you know who I am.
He might. I'm pretty sure Nike sits back going, just doing the Birdman hand rub, like, oh, yeah, we got one.
Yeah, seriously, because if LeBron has relinquished his throne as consensus best player in the NBA, to me, there's only two guys who really could take that crown. It's KD or Giannis.
Yeah, I mean, and I think KD should have it. I mean, Giannis has a ways to go, you know, because I think a lot of people are ready to crown him, but KD's already got 2 championships, 2 finals MVPs, and he's got a regular season MVP, and he's been doing it for over a decade. So I know that it's just great that Giannis is probably going to win the MVP this year, but I don't think you can put him ahead of Kevin Durant when you look at what he's done. I mean, the body of work speaks for itself, 4 scoring championships. I mean, so I think Kevin has earned it, and he's beaten LeBron. I mean, that's the other thing too. He's 2-1 against LeBron in the finals. So, you know, if anybody's next in line, it's KD.
Follow this man on Twitter at Mr. Michael Lee. Read everything that he writes. He's worth the subscription to The Athletic all by himself. Senior NBA writer for The Athletic.
Michael, I got followers for you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries, man. I do appreciate your work. And I don't know how you can follow sports and not subscribe to The Athletic, so I stand for you guys. Appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you, man. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.